Blog Talk Radio.
Heart Talk with Miss E. Today is Wednesday, April 27th, year 2011, and this is our closing program for this month. And tonight we're acknowledging and recognizing and celebrating the National Child Abuse Prevention Month. And as you know, every show we talk about issues related to our youth, and especially those who have experienced in any way the foster care system or separation from their biological parents. However, tonight we're going to talk about the children who are in the system, as well as those who may slip through the cracks or those who may never even come to the attention of the foster care system. And I am so excited tonight because our guest is someone who has touched my heart in so many ways. And actually, I woke up about 3:30 this morning, went to the bathroom, and I came back, and it's like, okay, what's today? Today is Wednesday. And I got all excited. I said, oh, yes, tonight is my interview with Mike. And for those of you who have had the opportunity and the privilege of seeing him, hearing him, meeting him, we know that it is something that you will never forget. And I hope that you will not only not forget him, but don't forget the message that he shares. And he shares in such ways that I can't even describe. I recently did some life coaching for myself, and one of the exercises asked, who is doing what it is that you would like to do? And I must honestly say the first person that came to my mind was Michael Pritchett, because he is going, I could never be as funny as he is, but he has a heart that's just as big as the world. And I first found out about him through watching PBS. PBS is one of my best friends, so I've met some of my best friends I've met through PBS. And he was doing two programs, one I believe it's The Choice is Yours, and the other is You Can Choose. He'll correct me when I bring him on. But I actually used to take those programs, record them on videotape from my VCR, and take them to show them to the kids I was doing groups with. And they were just so powerful, and I felt his heart. And one day I was blessed to have the opportunity to be presenting a workshop at an event where he was keynote speaker. And I was thrilled about the fact that he was there, and at the end decided, I'm going to go and talk to him. And we've been talking ever since. And that's been, believe it or not, Mike, almost 20 years ago. So I want to introduce you. Let me read just a little bit about what has been said about him. It says, nationally renowned motivational speaker, comedian, advocate, and PBS TV host Michael Pritchett is one part comedian, one part youth counselor, and all heart. Michael Pritchett has built a career on helping wounded youth of America make morally sound choices over those that could lead to lives of crime and despair. At 6 feet tall, at over 6 feet tall, Mr. Pritchett is an imposing figure that can captivate an audience with his rare combination of humor and, I looked up this word so I could pronounce it correctly, and it skipped me. I think it's pathos. But the bottom line, it means caring and compassion, and I'm glad to introduce to you a friend of children and my own personal friend, Mr. Michael Pritchett. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you, Missy. Pleasure to be with you. Love the fact that you're doing a show. I'm so awfully proud of you. This is awesome.
Thank you. Thank you. You've encouraged me through so many things, and so I know you have a very, very hectic schedule, and the fact that we were able to get you at this time, I know it's in divine order. And one day we're going to get around to that television program as well.
You bet.
Yes. So first of all, we know that you traveled the country talking to not only youth, but the those who care for the youth about issues related to self-esteem, self-worth. I know you were one that they were called on when we've talked about nationwide about the bullying situation, and I've seen you on the news and all sorts of things. But first of all, tell us how you got involved in working with young people.
Yeah, it's easy, Missy. One of my favorite things is to go back almost 40 years. I started in the 70s working with really tough kids. I was a juvenile officer first in St. Louis, and then when I came out here to California working with probation and probation counseling. And I first started to do work with kids years and years ago, and it's been an amazing blessing to me because humor was a great way to break down the walls of fear and insecurity with kids to make that breakthrough. So I started to do stand-up comedy. And then in 1980, I won the San Francisco Comedy Competition, and that was the same year I was the California Probation Officer of the Year. So it was,
wow.
It was like, it was something I hadn't intended to do. Kind of everything is spirit-guided, and I went on to film 11 PBS series and have been subsequently doing that. And I do the voices for, like, Star Wars and Sesame Street and Fox and Disney, all these different kinds of voices for cartoon work and shows and movies and stuff. And then sometimes I'm in movies. I'll be in a movie here coming up with Clive Owen and Nicole Kidman here day after tomorrow. I'm doing it. It's called Hemingway and Gellhorn. So I keep my hands in both show business, but mostly doing work with kids across country, and especially with foster care kids who have a special place in my heart. And I always want to tell people that one of the great gifts you get is that sometimes in life you meet children that inspire you. And not too long ago, I was with a little boy who was a little person, and I went into his middle school, and I was sitting with him, and he was the sweetest little guy. And he said, you know, I'm a foster care kid, too. He goes, sometimes I get really picked on. And he goes, and sometimes I get hurt a lot. And he goes, not just here at school, but sometimes when I first was at home, and I started to cry. And he goes, oh, I didn't. And he's only about 12. He goes, I didn't mean to make you cry. And I said, I'm not crying because I'm sad, Jerome. I'm crying because I'm inspired by your heart and your ability to uplift people by who you are. And then I looked over to the principal and the librarian. We're all crying, and the young girl was standing there. She grabbed the box of Kleenex, and she goes, come on, you guys, get a grip.
Well, it'll be
interesting.
Probably can't. Online, we have a chat room, and also I put in the comment, get your Kleenex and water because you're bound to experience bouts of tears and choke yourself laughing. So you brought up the
story. That's why you love being around. Today, I started laughing because the principal of the school introduced me over in Tiburon, and he said to the kids, what do Whoopi Goldberg and Robin Williams and Jerry Seinfeld all have in common? And he was going to introduce me, and one of the little kids goes, they're really old. I was trigger laughed the whole group. Again, we're howling, laughing. And I go, and he goes, oh, he goes, no, you could have offended our speaker. I go, it didn't bother me at all. I go, I have white hair for a reason. So, and I've been doing it. You know, so it's just so great to be around the spontaneity and the laughter of kids.
Mm-hmm.
They're good teachers. And that's what I try to tell people all the time. I had a kindergarten kid one day, Evelyn. And I'm sitting, I look across from him, and I said, hon, what did you learn today by what I taught you about the human heart? And he's five, and he goes, Don't let their bad day be your bad day or your bad day be their bad day. Don't play angry tag with people.
Mm.
And I went, wow. I wish we could get that message up to Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the key. And we were playing toxic tag. Kids are so brilliant. They come through completely unfiltered. And they have much to teach us if we choose to listen.
Exactly. And that's one of the things that I appreciate about you. You value the children. Most people are trying to figure out how to fix them. You expound on the gifts that they bring and what's already there that doesn't need to be fixed, you know, that we need to be fixed by learning from. And I laugh because I remember one of the times that we were together and you were talking about the kids and you said something about, you know, with ADD, and I was saying something about ADD. You said, well, I used to have ADD, and I said, used to, and you broke out in this huge laugh that went throughout the whole building, and I just felt like a little kid on the playground. It's like, you know, no bars held, because people tell me I laugh too loud and I get too excited. But that's it. We recognize that inner child, so you're good for my inner child.
You have to laugh through life.
Yes. Yes. And the Bible says laughter is good medicine for the soul.
You bet. I tell them all that you don't stop laughing because you grow old. You grow old because you stop laughing. And you find it in children and their spontaneity and the ability to make you burst out laughing when they'll say something. I had a little kindergartner one day, and they just, their descriptions of things, and a little girl was angry at the whole class, and she says, I am not talking to anybody anymore. I'm going to leave right now. And she walked out the door. And I go, wow, she was angry. And this little boy goes, that girl is an emotional porcupine. I go, wow. I said, I know adults like that. I think sometimes we become emotional porcupines. We're awfully sensitive about things. And they pick up on things to describe the way people's personalities and characteristics are. And they're unfiltered. I mean, you can't think of, when I think of some people who are way overly sensitive, I think of them being an emotional porcupine.
Hmm.
And that's what a kid has put into my heart and my brain to think creatively outside the box to help kids with. So when they bear wisdom, they bring wisdom. Not too long ago, I was up in Northern California, but I travel across country, and there was a whole, I felt so sad for this little boy. He was being judged by the whole community in a small community, small California town. And they had all assumed, because he was falling asleep in class, he was falling asleep daily, that he was on drugs because his mother was a drug person. And she'd been arrested and she'd been in the paper for drugs. And then when I hauled him in to talk to him, I find out that the reason he's falling asleep is because he's malnourished. He hasn't eaten in 3 days.
Wow. And this is in the United States of America.
I had to go back to the whole classroom and confront them and tell them, look, if you judge people, you'll never have time to learn to love them.
Yes. Mm.
If you spend time gossiping in a small town about a youngster and you don't really know his circumstances, you've spread the rumor that he's on drugs, you've hurt him worse than he can hurt himself. He is ashamed and humiliated to ask people for food. And you all judged him. And then the kids, it was awesome because the kids made a commitment that their parents and they would make sure he got fed daily. And I said, now we're talking about classmates. And like I tell the little kids, the best ship to sail on, friendship.
Oh, how sweet.
And it's true. Teaching kids that this is relationship, partnerships. This is what we have to, this is how we get through it all. We improvise, we adapt, we overcome. And helping foster care kids and kids who are disadvantaged and kids who are judged harshly and kids who are marginalized, to remind kids to keep them in the circle, not judge them outside the circle and push them away, but help them, you know. Dr. Martin Luther King's line is, it's not the bullies that hurt us the most. It's our best friends and classmates that don't defend us. We should all be connectors. Yeah, and we have to do that. You have to be a protector and a connector. You don't have to blow somebody else's candle out to make sure yours shines brighter.
Exactly.
Finding ways to protect
about, but speaking of the young man, which was basically a case of neglect, and we don't know the circumstances behind that. But in talking about child abuse prevention, what would you say is the most prevalent form of child abuse that you see when you travel? And I'll just stop right there, and then we'll pick up. What do you see the most?
Well, I think, you know, that's a great question, Evelyn. I think neglect is the worst form of child abuse. There's a great line by Elie Wiesel. He said, hate is not the enemy of love. It is yet more indifference.
Mm-hmm.
When you see a parent who doesn't care about their child, that child is starved for love, malnourished for love, malnourishment of the spirit. And that's the worst form of abuse, that nobody cares about them. And they need more than anything else connection to and a simpatico of love. Finding mm-hmm. that thing inside them that's so special. I see thousands of children who are thirsty and hungry in their eyes for any sort of loving connection and affection and engagement. And then, of course, the child abuse that takes place, where you see a kid who's beaten at home, and in their eyes, I can spot a kid who's been abused at home and beaten, and sometimes even worse, more tragically, abused or molested. You can see in them this need to be able to espouse and give their truth. I tell a story often about a little boy I had. It was pretty amazing. He said he was 8 years old, and he goes, I said, hey, who here has a responsibility? And with little ones, you never know. They come through unfiltered. He said, Mr. Mike, I have a responsibility that when my dad gets drunk and beats on my mom, that I would take my baby brother and I hide the baby in the closet so my dad won't shake him because he shook him before for crying. And I said, Taylor, honey, buddy, I just sat down. I don't know if I was ready for that, but you really needed to tell me right away, right? And he goes, yes, sir. I said, why do you think you needed to tell me right away? He goes, Mr. Mike, everybody needs to meet a kind stranger to tell their secrets to so they can get help. And
wow.
There's no truer axiom than we all need that kind stranger in our lives to be able to reach out to somebody who can understand our pain,
mm-hmm.
somebody to reach out to who can help ameliorate that pain and help assuage and bring a balm to that pain. And that's what we all seek in life. And if we don't address that pain, it turns to anger and indifference and then rage and then violence.
And that's exactly why I focus on the heart, because when you look at the teenagers that people, you know, claim that are just, you know, out of control and not responsive to anything, but they don't realize the layers and the layers of the pains and wounds that some of these young people have experienced, you know, from infancy, some, and the losses and the grief they've had to bear. And, you know, they show up in one way and people are criticizing them, not realizing that this child may have just done very well just to have shown up at all.
Right. And, you know, that's the key. Because they have scar tissue from their pain. When a child is cynical, when you see a cynical kid, he doesn't need for you to be cynical against him.
Uh-huh.
He needs for you to understand that cynicism is scar tissue from his own pain. He does not, she does not believe that anybody loves or cares for them. And so they try to self-isolate and push everybody away.
Uh-huh.
And if we are wise, there's a great line by Aeschylus that Bobby Kennedy spoke about at his brother Jack's funeral. With every drop, drop, drop of pain on the human heart, wisdom grows, wisdom grows, wisdom grows. So as opposed to being angry, when we see the pain on the heart of each other, it's wise for us to be understanding that it can bring compassion, connectivity, forgiveness, reflection, acceptance, surrender, as opposed to judgment and harsh hostility towards them. And, yeah, because this, listen, I've been on the toughest streets in America, and I see it even in the prisons and the jails with the men. I tell them that hurt people, but pain shared is pain divided, and joy shared is joy multiplied.
And, you know, you hit it because when we look at the adults, we realize they didn't just become that way as adults, the majority of them. Some made some choices. But they grow up. And what I usually respond to is that child inside of each one. And I believe that that's why we have so much discord, so much hatred, so much confusion, even in adults. And we were talking about people who are professionals, you know, in high places, and that inner child starts to jump out and act out, and they don't even recognize it because there's some wounds inside that have not healed. What would you say to, and I know I'm jumping from the child, but even as adults,
that's okay,
because I really believe that the children that we probably have the most difficulty dealing with, I always tell people that's because that child is challenging your inner child.
Right. No, you know what, Evelyn, this proves to me that you're an emotionally intelligent and brilliant genius at this work. Here's your own journey has brought you to this awareness and wisdom. Here's what I tell kids. There's a play, South Pacific. There's a song in the play. You've got to be taught before it's too late, before you are 6 or 7 or 8, to hate all the people your relatives hate. You've got to be carefully taught. I tell children, if you hate, if you choose to hate, it's like you drink poison and expect someone else to die. When we get to adulthood, our hearts are calcified, they're concretized from a lot of the scar tissue around it, from being inappropriately treated or abused or talked trash to. And so we lash out at others. And that lashing can turn to anger and rage and then eventually to violence. Like I tell them, violence doesn't have a zip code. If you ask Michael Jordan or Bill Cosby or Gerald Levin, every one of them had $1 billion in the bank, and they lost a family member to an angry kid with a gun. Mm-hmm. Two kids on parole from North Carolina Youth Authority took the life of Michael Jordan's dad. A young man named Mark Ashef took the life of Enes Cosby. And, you know, when you think about life, what you have to tell adults and people is, take a step back. What we just learned in a movie I just did called The Happy Movie, and you can view portions of it up on the web right now. The Happy Movie is about finding that one word makes us happiest throughout our whole life, and that word is compassion, caring about others. It isn't where we live or what we have or what we own or the achievements that we've accomplished. No, that does not make us happy. They're very short-circuited. But if we find out that this is intentional, in other words, the way we live, that we're connected, like I tell the kids, hey, the little boy you're picking on and teasing is someday going to be the paramedic that comes over to your house and lifts your infant son up out of the bathtub and saves his life. And the little girl you've laughed at in second grade because she's dyslexic is going to be the nurse that sits up all night long with your mom in the hospital after a car accident. The little boy you call crybaby and sissy is someday going to be the emergency room physician who saves a member of your family. And you remember that you know they think that bullies and teasers, they don't have real friends. They have hostages. That's not a friendship. When you're a hostage to the fear that they'll turn on you, that's not a friendship.
Exactly.
That's a fear ship. And that's what you tell them. It's you either board the friendship or the fear ship. It's your choice. And that's where you go right down to teach adults the same thing that Cesar Chavez said. There's two forces in the world. The force that pushes people down or the force that helps people up. Choose.
You can't be both. Wow.
You can't. You have to be helping people up. That French word I love, encourage, gives strength to the heart, not discourage, take strength away. And the more we learn to encourage each other and help each other, that's when we're connected to the great good of compassion. And teaching people to forgive themselves and to forgive others, that's what adults need to do. They need to recognize and see in children these little angry things that they come home with. That's why I love the line by the little kid. You know, he said, Don't let your sad turn to mad, because then it all gets bad. If you try to get a psychiatrist, you're right, Daddy. Couldn't be more clinically correct.
Hello?
Don't let those sad turn to mad, because then it all gets bad.
Okay.
Get
and
like
he's a poet and a rapper on top of it all. And a little genius.
Oh, yeah. All their, you know, kids, they love poetry. They love when they're... There's moments when I'm with children and they will say things that are so, I don't know, supernaturally profound.
Mm-hmm.
That I'll sit and I'll take a moment and I'll get real teary-eyed with them, you know, and they'll, you know, like I remember one little kid, you know, we were talking about, I said about a wealthy man, I was describing Ebenezer Scrooge, and I said, do you remember they described Scrooge as a man who was wealthy, but he was as solitary as an oyster in his pain? And I said, sometimes you see very rich people who have everything, but they're very angry and they push everybody away thinking they want something from them. So they have no friendships. I said, can you think of that? You can't push people away when you want people to really love you. And the little kid raises his hand and he goes, I have a grandfather like that. And I just feel so sorry for him. Sometimes I just go up and I get into his eyes and I hug him and I tell him, I really feel bad for you that you don't love people very much. I was like, wow. What? And this
we need
like,
to do a television program with these kids with these sayings and let them be the leaders that they are and teach us some things,
yeah.
You know? Because
you
it
see,
is amazing.
That's what I tell you. You know, everybody wants, when they're listening to kids, they want to be entertained by something funny they say. But
right.
I want people to understand the wisdom they bear.
Yes. Yes. And we undermine them so much.
Right.
I came across a quote yesterday that says, we come in the world fine, and then we get defined. Now we're being refined. And it's like, they come here if we would just listen to them. And a lot of times, it's their wisdom. I believe that sometimes adults are either intimidated or embarrassed
right.
by the wisdom. And I wouldn't even say wisdom because they're young, but just the inner wisdom that they
right.
have, and they don't know how to respond. And I believe really in the school
right.
system and places where people deal with kids when they have issues or disciplinary issues, it's not
right.
about the child being uncontrollable. They just don't like the fact that the child is smart. And if they just admit it and say, you know, you're really smart, you got me on that one, let the ego go
right.
and let that child be, you know, the great person that they are, then you have a mutual respect.
Right.
So what would you do? I have two questions I really want to address before we end our call this evening. Is that one, because there is so much abuse going on in our children, as a you know, just a member of the village, you know, a general citizen.
Right.
What is it that we can do, one, to recognize when a child is being abused? What should we do with that? And what can we do for the child?
Well, one of the great gifts, you know, that anybody who's a person who loves children has. You know, I tell everybody that eyes are the light in the window of the face, letting you know the heart is home and happy.
Mm-hmm.
And eyes are also the sadness in the face, in the window, letting you know the heart is in pain. I used to work quite a bit with wounded soldiers, and I used to spend time more not addressing as much, and I had to take care of their physical wounds. But it just
are you there?
More not addressing as much, and I had to take care of the physical. But, you know, you take care of their hearts as much as you do their bodies. you take care of their emotions so that you teach them an emotional intelligence. And that's that pain that, that is borne by folks from physical wounds. When I'm talking to little kids all the time who have been badly abused, I will ask them, is there something I or we could all do to help make it better? And they always invariably just say, like I had a kid in a children's center, and he was dropped off there. He was dropped off there by parents and left. And he said, can I speak to you privately? I said, sure, sure. I said, what do you want to talk about? He goes, nothing. I said, I thought you wanted to talk to me. And he goes, I just wanted to be with you. And that's the key. They just want somebody to be with them. Evelyn? Hello? Hello?
Oh, I lost my line for a minute, but I could hear you were talking.
Okay.
You could not hear me, so keep going. I heard you say about taking care of the hearts. I'm sorry about that.
Oh, that's all right. No, I said, you know, I don't know where we left off, but I said, you know, when I'm working with kids, and especially when I was working with the kids that were badly abused, one of the things and the most important thing that a kid gets is love. That you have to get into their eyes and see and ask them, what do you need from me? And one of the little kids at one of the places that would many years ago had been called an orphanage. It was a drop-off center for kids. And he said, can I speak to you privately? And I said, well, yeah, sure. So I go with him, and I said, what did you want to talk about? And he said, nothing. I said, what do you mean nothing? I thought you wanted to talk to me. He goes, no, I just wanted to be with you.
Oh.
And that's what kids all want. They just want to be with somebody who's loving and kind and cares about them deeply. And
mm-hmm.
those moments with the kid who is a foster care kid, with the kid who's abused, those kids who have been neglected, those kids who have been emotionally, physically, spiritually abused in a way that we don't think that kids can come back from, have a resilience to them
yeah.
that is almost, I don't know, it's unworldly, it's spiritual. And I see that spirit in children that can revive and they can bring to you. I had helped a little boy one day, and I started to laugh so hard he walks over because I had helped his little friend who was very, very badly hurt and abused. And he came walking back over to me. He's a little guy. And he goes, and his teacher yelled at him, Robert, where are you going? Come here. Where are you going? And he walks over, gets about a foot away from me. He goes, you know what? God is really happy with you today. I go, wow. I go, where did that come from? And I started howling, laughing. I was sitting there.
Oh.
And then I started, it so hit me on such a deep level. I started laughing. And then I started crying. I go, what an amazing moment from a little kid.
Yes.
And what
they're
would make that little kid? Right.
They're little spiritual beings here to complete their purpose in life,
right.
And we get in the way and mess it all up, and we break their spirits, you know. And it's,
right.
I believe in discipline, but I believe in not breaking a child's spirit. What you do is you guide them, you love them,
right.
And help them to embrace what they have. And that reminds me, you know, when my youngest foster son, you know, was small, he would say some of the most amazing things. And one day I looked at him, I said, where do you get this from, these things from? He said, in my head.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow, isn't that wonderful? We all could come up with some more if we didn't have it so cluttered with things. And you talk about spending time with kids, and that's one of the things that I really, you know, campaign for, is to get people to become mentors and CASA workers, because a lot of times the kids
right.
just need to know that there's someone there for them. And I remember sharing with someone about my relationship with my childhood godmother, and someone asked me, you know, well, what is it, what did you guys do? And as I thought about it, really, there wasn't a lot, but we would sit, talk, and look out the
right.
window and talk for hours,
right.
something I didn't do with
right.
my biological mother. But there was a bond
right.
there, and we all need that. And we're so busy, so caught up, and you talked about looking into the eyes. How many adults actually look into the eyes of a child unless they're yelling at them and saying, look at me when I'm talking to you? But how many of us really look at and just have that time, not only with children, but with one another, just to look into someone's eyes and feel who they are? We don't do that. We don't do that.
Well, you know, I would offer up this show to Phoebe Snow. Now, I'll tell you why. I opened for her years ago, and she sang this beautiful song, The Poetry Man. And I did a comedy show before her thing, and she gave up her entire career to spend time with her brain-damaged daughter, who died in 2007. Phoebe went back to work singing, and we just lost her here a few days ago. But in the essence of her life was, she said, I have never had such bonding, such love, such intimacy as I would need as a human being on this planet to survive as I did from my child.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that tells you everything you need to know. We could give up everything we have and live a fulfilled life if we could just be there for that one person who needs us most, which her child did. Now, this is the message that comes through us. This is Teilhard de Chardin said, we are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience.
Yeah.
And that we're all interconnected, and that we all see these things. I see it every day in children. I tell everybody that I have thousands of coincidences happen to me all through the year. And they're daily. Things happen for a reason. I tell everybody, coincidences are God's way of remaining anonymous. And there's this moment when a little kid will walk up to me and he'll go, do you remember me? And I said, gosh, I don't remember. And he goes, sure you do. And I said, well, remind me. And he goes, you were the person who helped me get my cleft palate repaired.
Mm.
And I burst into tears because I did not recognize him.
Wow.
And I had help with rhodoplasts and some plastic surgeons who did it pro bono. And I came unglued because I did not recognize him. And then I'm sitting in the middle of an outdoor restaurant crying really hard, and his mother walks up and she goes, I wanted him to do that for you. I wanted him to do that for you. And I said, do you have to, you know, right in the middle of a chicken salad, you make me weep. Like, no. There's salty tears all over this. I said, I can't eat this salad now. I'm crying too hard. But those moments are the moments of life. And those are the things that we, when we find, when we are compassionate, we are caring, where we are connected to the greater source frequency, whatever you want to call it. The ancient Norsemen called it Wodan. The Native Americans called it Wakan. The Hindu call it Prana. The Kahunas of Hawaii call it Mana. The Chinese term is qi, the Japanese term is ki, the Hebrew term is Ruach HaKodesh. Christians and Baha'i call it the Holy Spirit. And my buddy George Lucas, he calls it the Force is with you. And there is something greater than all of us, the spirit wind that guides us. And if we're smart, we get on that frequency, we stay on that frequency, where we're helping, assisting, and healing, and nurturing and encouraging and uplifting and being the balm, the human balm for the wounds of the spirit, you know. And it's, you know, and the more time we spend arguing, the less time we have to help people heal. And there's too many wounded for us to be arguing about politics or religion or taxes.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I find it amazing that your work, when you say you were with the probation department, you were with what were considered to be the hard kids, you know, not just the kids that were, you know, going to school and getting suspended for chewing gum in class or not bringing their homework, but those who had obviously committed some type of a crime. And so I look at those young people. I look at those in the school that are just getting by. And the teachers have such an attitude, or people say, you know, I can't handle this kid. We have people that are not in tune with this spiritual life and realize this is just, you know, a human experience. How can we get people to be more caring or just more patient with our young people and have more of a positive impact?
That's a great question. That's an emotionally brilliant question, E. Here's the thing I tell everybody. Fear is the little dark room where negatives are developed.
Mm-hmm.
And you see people afraid to reach out to other people and speak emotionally or disclose things to them. I tell kids everything about my own personal struggles. I tell them about the fact that I was ADD when I was a kid and that I had struggles. I graduated from high school with a 1.7 and a 1.9. But the journey is that I was horrible in baseball my whole life, but I was inducted into the San Francisco Junior Giants Hall of Fame for having helped raise with other women and men millions of dollars to put about 175,000 children into baseball. I was horrible at school, but I have an honorary doctorate degree. And people ask me why I call myself doctor. I said, well, you know, here's the thing. Benjamin Franklin, in his hometown, and he had no formal education, he was self-taught, created the first philosophical society, the first debating society, the first junto, which was like a precursor to Rotary, the first National Guard, the first postal system, the first fire department, the first library, the first eyewear, the first stoves, the first lightning rods. He was a genius, but he was not educated, and he was self-educated. And what we have to see is the genius in all people. He was a completely ADD guy. And we have to find that genius in others. That's why I love little kids. I had a little kid who was dyslexic in inner city Chicago. He goes, yo, Mr. Pritchard, did you know that the word silent and listen have the same letters? Oh, wait a minute. L-I-S-T-E-N. Wow, how'd you know that? He goes, I misspell a lot because I'm lydesic. And later on, he points out, he goes, how about this one, too? He goes, Mr. Pritchard, these people call me stupid because they don't know me. But I know
Hello.
That secure and rescue have the same letters.
Mm.
I went, wow, secure and rescue. So when I was leaving the school, I'm like walking out to my car. It's snowing in the middle of Chicago. And the kid goes, yo, Mr. P. I go, Don Trump, I'm leaving, man. What? It's snowing. I'm sweating in the snow. What do you need? He goes, one more. I go, all right, lay it on me. What is it? He goes, heart and earth. Same letters. Make sure you tell everybody you learned that from me. Right here. Don Trell in Chicago. Now
heart is what?
And earth. E-A-R-T-H.
Okay.
Isn't that amazing? Now,
yeah.
If you're an environmentalist, that child has just taught you one of the most powerful things that spirit can teach.
Mm-hmm.
Earth, heart.
Wow. That's deep. That is deep. Are you still there? Are you there? I'm not sure what's happening with the phone lines. I even had an extra phone
okay.
on the side in case, but we'll edit
okay.
all of this out.
And for those of you listening,
I thank you for continuing to hold on and bearing with us. Stuff happens. I'm sure there's a kid's quote that goes, has something to do with that, isn't there?
Yeah, you want to know how to make God laugh? Tell him your plans.
Hello. Well, my plan was to have a conversation that went through and through without any interruptions, but he had something different, huh?
Those things happen.
Yeah, this is weird. This is real weird. This has not happened before. I've had other things to happen, but not this. So we were talking about, just the profound awareness that children have and adults not being able to recognize that and how for them to get through that, the layers of the scar tissue to be able to help these kids to get through.
Well, you know, I think a lot of times the vulnerability of a kid is what we have to go towards, you know, and as opposed to bristling when they're smart alecky or snarky or mean-spirited, you know, to, you know, one of the things I learned with some of the toughest kids in the world was to sit and kind of be still. There's a line by the Native American, the Apache line, in the stillness lies the answer.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes to just be still, be completely silent and wait. And I do that a lot with kids. I'll just sit for sometimes 15 minutes and not say anything to them. And then all of a sudden they just pour their hearts out. And people are afraid of that. They don't know what to do. I mean, sometimes therapists or counselors are afraid of 15 minutes. What I start to do is I kind of meditate when I'm in that state. I just go, you know, I ask for help to open the kid up, and I say, hey, you know, we need to heal this child. We need to help this kid. And sometimes the kid will just say the most unbelievable stuff. I remember a girl who got up at one of the assemblies, and she'd heard what I said. She said, you know, I want to apologize for being a bully, but I'm sick. I'm sick. I spoon feed out the poison to other girls that I dislike or hate, and I'm only hurting them. But carrying all this poison around inside me is killing me, and I now know it.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And
that awareness.
You know,
and they get it quicker than we do. Someone in our chat room wrote down your quote that fear is the little dark room where negatives are developed, and it was followed by, wow, sunlight will destroy a photo negative. Maybe all we have to do is bring a little sunshine into a child's life, even a grown child.
Right. There's a great line by Justice Louis Brandeis, who was one of the most brilliant judges, and he was a Supreme Court justice. And I love his line. He said, the best disinfectant is sunshine. When we bring things to the light of day, we learn that truth and love are sisters to justice. When a child is abused, and he's abused in the darkness and the sadness of a home, and finally he or she reaches out to a caseworker or a CASA worker and says, I've been hurt, that is the beginning of the sunlight that changes a child's life. When they tell a CASA worker, I'm getting hurt. I'm getting hurt a lot. Then that gives us in CPS or CASA or child care workers or counselors or teachers that opportunity to go in and bring the sunshine. Because kids sometimes will push everybody away and stay in the darkness out of fear. That's why that line by Eleanor Roosevelt, which is really important, it is better than to sit and curse the darkness. So finding those things in us, and Eleanor Roosevelt was great with her line. She said, nobody can make you feel bad about yourself unless you give them your permission.
Exactly.
So she was a wise woman.
Though? Could you repeat that first one?
Yeah. It is better to light a match than to sit and curse the darkness.
Okay.
You know?
Gotcha.
I mean, I tell kids all the time, you know, you don't have to be mean to people. You don't have to blow somebody else's candle out to make sure yours shines a little brighter.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a competition. It's finding the compassion in us, you know, and that's when we're at our best, when we're lighting the way. You know, truthfully, there is no struggle between the light and the dark. When the light arrives, the dark dissipates. It goes away.
Hello. No conflict at all. Just passes right on. And the last issue that I want to address is the issue of the wounded inner child and the adults who are actually doing the abuse.
Right.
I speak to a lot of young people who have been in, dysfunctional, abusive families, and they say, I'm never going to have children because I don't want that child to grow up like me. And, you know, one of the things I'll often say, well, because you're aware of that, you will make other choices and you will seek ways. And they said, no, that won't, you know, that just won't happen. Then the other people say, I can't wait to have children so I can do it differently. However, when those old wounds come back up, there's those sores get triggered and they again become abusers. So I'm wondering, what is it that people who find themselves, because I, you know, having worked in social services, I've had the opportunity to work with birth parents, you know, who've either lost their children,
sure,
or working to try to get their children back, or just, you know, gave up. And I realized that they're human too. And some of them, even though I don't like what they've done, I care about them. And they then become hated on another level. So they never even learn to love. What would you say about those who, the abusive, those who are the perpetrators of the abuse? Yeah.
It's really important for us to understand is, you know, I had a kid. He was talking about depression. I said, could you define and describe, because he was an artist, your depression? And he said, yeah, depression is when you're encapsulated in a large glass globe and you can't reach out and touch anyone and no one can reach in and touch you.
Mm.
And unless your heart and spirit shatter the globe from the inside, or you allow a family member or friend to shatter it from the outside, you could remain entombed, unable to touch, unable to feel, but going through life pressed up against the glass, numb. Morbidly sick people try to medicate their own pain with violence. They do this. They're sick.
Mm-hmm.
And if we do not want them to reoffend and reoffend, reoffend, we have to find ways to speak to the sickness inside them, the pain inside them, the darkness and the sadness inside them.
Mm-hmm.
And helping kids. And, you know, I remember watching an episode of a television show called Medium. And there was a woman playing a psychic in it, and she said to this man across the table from her, you have hurt this child. And she said, but standing in the room with me are the people that hurt you, and the people who hurt him, and the people who hurt them, and the people who hurt them, and the people who hurt them. And this is the sickness that we have to break the cycle of. And it can't be arrested away. It can't be suppressed away. It can't be incarcerated away. We can inform people in as many ways as we can to protect children from the sickness out there.
Yeah.
But the most powerful gift we get is to try to find ways to make breakthrough to the sick people, to get them not to recycle and be a predator and a person who perpetrates more. That is going to be done only by helping them learn to forgive themselves and accept themselves and do everything we can to help that person, those people. And it's hard because our public wants retribution, incarceration, destruction of their lives, which you can well understand. And I would if it was my child or any friend of mine's child. I wouldn't want that retribution, too, because I am a human. And when you see people perpetrate things on children, you want to get
hurt
violent.
Them.
But that's not
yes.
the answer. Yeah.
Right.
It's not the answer.
And one of my favorite quotes.
We have
I'm
to be human enough, to know it.
Yes. And one of the quotes that I love, it says, people need love most when they're most unlovely.
Right. When they're most
and,
unlovable. That's, mm-hmm. you know, I see it with kids. I had a lady one time at, it's kind of funny, I go to a church on Sundays at a place, it's a children's center as well, you know, where kids who have been neglected and abused go. And the little boy, he came up and he hugged me, and then he hugged the lady in front, and she goes, oh, he smells so bad.
Mm.
And I looked at her and I said, ma'am, the only thing that's really kind of smelling right now is the attitude that this kid doesn't need more of that.
Mm.
He'll smell so much better with more love from us
yes.
and less judgment. And she
mm-hmm.
just looked at me, and she didn't want to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and I think that's even something that we can each do. We can speak up, and I think a lot of times we find ourselves, you know, not fitting in. And I actually, this with me, with social workers and sometimes caregivers and with teachers, I speak in behalf of the children. Not that I condone their behavior, but I will speak up. And that makes you a minority, even in our own peer group of adults. But I think what that does for a child to be able to speak in their behalf, and then you can correct them, it develops the respect with them, it develops trust, but it's something that they will never forget because a lot of young people have never had anyone to speak up for them.
Yeah, they don't have a lot of defenders. I saw it just a few weeks ago with a young boy who was being judged rather cruelly by everyone because he had very shabby clothes and he was in a yuppie school district where a lot of the kids had very nice things. And he was feeling a sense of shame. And, you know, like when I tell kids, you know, we talk about weight, I tell them, hey, I'm a big guy. A scale can measure the weight of a person, but not the worth of their heart and spirit.
Mm.
And I
said
that
one more
clothes,
time. You're going to see that one somewhere else. I'll put your name to it.
Yeah.
Say that again.
A scale can measure the weight of a person, but not the worth of their heart and spirit.
Oh, I love that. I just feel like somebody just poured oil over me. Oh, I love that. That's beautiful. That
well,
is so
I mean,
beautiful.
We're, when you're a big person and people say you're fat, you're heavy, you're this, you're that, look at what you've been eating. You know, hey, here's eight. Those who eat sweets take up two seats. All these little comments, and they try to pretend like that's helping you. You'll lose weight. When I make fun of you, when I shame and humiliate you, you'll get angry enough to do something about it. That's
mm-hmm.
what that's going to work. And the case is that people get offended, they get hurt, and they get even harder on themselves.
Yes.
And
that comes
and it's shame with
place
the little,
of frustration
the,
and ignorance.
The, right. Well, the three enemies we have are fanaticism and tyranny and ignorance. And we have to stand up against all three so that bullies don't overrule things. But like the boy who had the very shabby clothes, I looked at him and I said, you know what? I said, these kids are all telling you that you look really bad. I go, where I'm from, in California, you look as cool as the other side of the pillow.
Did he break out with a big grin on his face?
And laugh. And I said, you got to not get so uptight about this. I said, you know what pig Latin is? And he started laughing. He goes, yeah, where you take the inside of the word. I said, well, you know what the pig Latin word for relax is? Elax ray. I go, everybody needs the elax ray. We should have an elax ray. It's like you kind of point a button. It's like, chill out. Take a chill pill. Relax. Elax ray, dude. And, you know, for people to unwind from it. They're so uptight.
Yeah.
And I said, so if you're not afraid to have people look at you and say, well, you're not dressed right. Not Solomon in all of his array is as beautiful as a lily in the field.
Mm.
I see that little lily sitting out there is, you know, bigger than King Solomon, man. That's just a simple thing. A little flower in the middle of a field is more beautiful than the greatest king. That's what we're supposed to know.
Mm-hmm.
Keep it simple. Keep it pure. Keep that frequency going where you're loving. And you know, Mother Teresa said to a group of people, she said, well, a lot of you are here tonight to listen to me speak of my children starving to death in Ethiopia and India, but they are dying, loved in their mother's arms, and some of your children are sitting home tonight, surrounded by objects that you have purchased for them, and they are dying of malnutrition of the spirit.
Oh, now that's the truth. That is the truth. And I have a whole segment that I want to do on that. Just the difference between a provider and a nurturer, and we need that. We need
right.
it all. Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, believe it or not, our hour has come to, I don't want to say an end, but our hour has come full circle. And in our chat room, I asked if anyone had any questions. Someone indicated a comment. It says, I hope Michael is guiding the young people he sees toward running for Congress because our country needs them.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, I agree with that.
Yes, yes, yes.
I asked
so
them not necessarily to get into politics, but to totally get into leadership because
yes,
good leaders
definitely.
Get you to believe in them, but the best leaders get us to believe in ourselves.
There you go. And we all can be leaders. And so I am just I'm honored to be able to share this work with someone like you. You inspire me. You are a mentor to me, but you're also wonderful for my inner child.
I love you too. Inspire comes from the Greek term to breathe in the spirit.
Yes, yes, and that's exactly what happens. And it even came through in the television screen, and that's why I knew when I saw you that you were someone who were of like mind and like heart, and when I met you, there was no question. So I value our friendship. I value our work in the field together. And so we're going to end this with our theme song. And I want you to hold on because there's something that that I shared with you that I want to catch on tape for another project that I'll be doing. So when our theme song ends, you know, I guess we'll probably have ended, and I just want to add a little tag onto this. So you have any closing remarks?
No, just that I'm very proud of you and that I love you very, very much, and I am honored to be on your show, and you are doing everything that you're supposed to be doing. And like the little kid said to me, God is really happy with you today.
And that's my goal. I want him to be pleased with me, and I feel like he's allowed me to take this journey, and I'm very grateful for it. So thank you for being here. Thank you for our listeners and for those who will hear this podcast at a later date. Please send us your comments at heart@forchildsheart.org or on our Facebook page or even on Blog Talk. And give us your comments and questions and what other things you would like to see us doing here on Heart Talk with Miss E, doing something special for a child's heart. In the meantime, have a wonderful day, a wonderful week, and take care of your inner child. God bless.
She cried.